Before I even begin, let me just say thank you. For almost 17 years, this church has been supporting the ministry that I do on college campuses, sharing this life-changing, radical message of Jesus Christ with college students. I couldn't do that without you enabling me to be available for students. Jordan and Judy are on staff with us, as well as Ari over here. And if you could do anything today to help this ministry, if at the end of this sermon you were thinking, man, what could I do to help what's going on? Well, talk to Jordan and talk to Ari. Talk to Judy. Judy is working at Assumption, but she's still very much part of the family and part of the team, the ministry team that the two of them represent. But talk to them about how you could come alongside of them and enable them to be able to do this ministry. So a lot of times when someone comes to give a sermon while the pastor's on vacation and they invite the missionary to come in and speak, you know, people stay away in droves. Because the stereotype out there is that missionaries can be boring and that they present to you all these statistics and so forth, and you just kind of leave more tired than when you arrived. I'm going to try not to do that today. I don't want to tell you about statistics. I don't want to tell you that we have a staff in the area of about 20 people now and that we're on 8 campuses. I don't want to tell you the statistic that 86% of students who grow up in our churches leave their faith within 2 years of attending a secular campus. I'm not telling you those statistics because that's what the typical, you know, missionary does. But what I like to do when I come to churches and speak is I like to just do what I do on campus. I just do what I do on campus. And my thought is that if you walk away today just thinking, wow, I'm glad he does what he does on campus, then I've accomplished everything that I need to. You don't have to have all of these statistics and everything. So let me just share with you what I do on campus. So a number of years ago, at our week-long retreat that we do over the summer, we had decided to break away from doing just a typical Sunday morning worship service, and we continue even today on our retreats to do something bigger, something more. And so what we did was we decided to have a worship event where people could come and go all around. We had the whole camp open to us for our worship service. And so we had in this one area someone reading scripture, just reading scripture. And if you wanted to just go and hear scripture, you could just walk over to this side of the camp and sit down and hear someone passionately reading scripture. And then when you wanted to do something else, as you felt the Spirit move, or you could go to this other area where someone was leading in worship. And so we had a worship team and people worshiping. And you could come and you could worship. And then you could move on. And then we had an area set up where people could wash other people's feet. So if you wanted to, you know, respectfully wash someone's feet to say that we're serving you, and you could go and a student could find another student and bring them over to this area where we had a basin and they could wash feet. And we had, you know, another area where other things were being done. And just different things. If you wanted prayer, you could go to an area and someone could pray for you. And then they came to me and they said, "Wait, Joe, we want you to do the sermon for our worship service, but we want you to be able to do the sermon so people can come in and go as they want." I thought, how do you do a sermon where people can, like, walk in and walk out? How do you do that? Where, you know, it's unraveling when you're a speaker and people leave or come in. You know, what do you do? So I came up with this idea about we can go to the slide. You can say bye bye, Birdie. Yeah, that's okay. We can. Yeah, you can just blank the screen, too, if that's better. So none of these things ravel me. I do college ministry. Things often don't work. So what I decided to do, there we go. We're getting close. That thing right there. Yeah. Nice. Okay. So what I decided to do was to do a sermon from a boat, like just like this. So I thought, well, if I told stories, little snippets of stories about like Peter in a boat, people could come and hear a story and leave. And if they came in and they wanted to hear the whole thing, they just listened whenever they came in until it started repeating itself. Because this worship event went from like 9 in the morning to almost noon, and so I just kept repeating this. And so I put a boat out in the lake, and people came in my area of the camp, they came to the shore, and they listened to me explain about things that happened in a boat just like this. So we're going to look this morning at, we'll go to the next slide, or is it just the picture that's up? Okay, we got that. So we're going to look at the call, Peter's call. Now, Peter's call, you know, it's mentioned in Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John, but there's different snippets of it that mean, you know, that we are supposed to put together. You know, one doesn't tell all of the story, another tells more of the story. And so we're going to look at this scripture. If you're going to try to write it down, we're going to go to other slides, but you can go back to these later. So the call, we're going to also look at, go to the next one. We're also going to look at a storm, things that happened to Peter in a boat, like a storm, looking at Matthew, Mark, and Luke. We're going to look at walking on water, and we can make these scriptures available to you later because I'd like you to check them out, but Matthew, Mark, and John, where Peter walks on water, and then we're going to look at John chapter 21, where Peter is restored to Christ, but there's something that happens on a boat as well, okay? So, go ahead, you can go to the last slide. So what I'm going to ask you to do this morning is use your imagination and allow me to share with you my imagination, my speculation. So right now, you are on the shore. So this is all the shore, and right along here is the shoreline. So I'm like, I'm standing in water. I'm walking on water right now. Here I am on water, and using your imagination, this is a boat, okay? And so what I'm going to do is become, in a moment, I'll become Peter, and I will tell you stories of things that happened to me in a boat just like this. Later on, I won't be Peter, I'll be Joe. You'll know when I'm Joe because I won't be Peter. Okay? It all makes sense. So let me just share with you and allow me to use imagination and speculation. And what I'd like you to do is go back to those scriptures later just to be sure that you understand what is scripture and what is my speculation. For example, I'm going to use an illustration where Jesus touches Peter on the chin and lifts his chin. That's not in Scripture. So don't leave here saying, well, Joe said, Peter said this. Well, that's part of my imagination speculation. I go up to the monastery in Spencer very often to pray, and I often pray with Scripture, and I will read a story, and I will, spend hours and hours on a story, pulling out everything about it, from every person's angle, from every view, from every vantage point. I want to hear, taste, touch, smell, everything that Scripture has to offer. And a lot of times I put that all together into this kind of thought, into a collage of things, and they often make their way into a message to students. So, here we go. Before I become Peter. The things that I could tell you, the stories that I could tell, the life-changing, radical stories that I could tell you, the transforming things that I could tell you that happened in a boat just like this. I don't even know where to start except to just start where it all began. See, a number of us, we had heard about this preacher in the wilderness, John the Baptist, and so we went out to the wilderness to hear John the Baptist speak, and as he was speaking, this man was walking towards, and John, he pointed to them, and he just said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," and he pointed him out to us, and we followed him, and we hung around with him for a few days. We followed him. He turned around, and he said to us, "What do you seek?" And he had these words. He had something about him. He just drew us to him, but... You know, I'm a fisherman. I had a business, and we couldn't stay. We had to go back. I had to earn a living. I had a family to support, and And so, you know, we went back and we were fishing this one night. Oh, we were fishing. Let me tell you, we spent all night fishing and we caught nothing. I mean, nothing. That doesn't happen. A fisherman may catch something, but they don't catch nothing. And here we were all night long and we had caught nothing. I can tell you, I was not in the best of moods. I was not someone that you wanted to mess with or talk to. Just leave me alone. And so we're on the side of the shore with our nets, picking out the seaweed, not the fish, because we didn't catch any fish. And so we're pulling out the seaweed out of our nets and mending our nets where they needed repair. And that's when we saw him again. Jesus, he was walking towards us and a crowd of people following around him. And he stopped next to our boats on the shore and he just started teaching and talking to the people. And he just had these words, these words that just resonated with me. They came into the core of my being. I wanted to not even listen, but I found myself drifting and listening to him. And the more that he talked, the more people came around and the crowd was growing and swelling, and there was more and more people, and they got to be so close that they were pushing towards him, and he was running out of land, and he was being almost pushed into the water, and that's when it happened. That's when it happened. He gets in my boat. You don't do that. You don't do that when the fisherman is an angry, you know, hot-tempered guy who caught nothing all night. You don't get in his boat. But he just gets in my boat. And he just looks over at me with a smile and he goes, "Can you put out from shore a little bit?" I go, Who are you? Who is this guy? Gets in my boat. Put out to shore. But he had these words. There was something about him that just he couldn't say no. Just wanted to love him, and he got in my boat, we put out the shore, and he began teaching again, and every word that he said had some transforming, powerful effect on me. Every single word that he said, every mannerism about him, it was just unbelievable. I was just captivated and caught up. And then when he was done and he dismissed the crowds, he turned to me and he said, "Put out into deeper water and cast out your nets." You're the carpenter. I'm the fisherman. I'm not telling you how to build things. Don't tell me about fishing. We fished all night. There's no fish to catch. But he had those words. Those deep, penetrating words. I admit there probably was some sarcasm in my voice. We said, all right, well, put out the deeper water, guys. Let's throw out the nets for the carpenter. So we threw out our nets. And normally, when you throw out your nets, you know, you start to see little bubbles form around the nets as the water starts to absorb into the netting. And you start to see the nets slowly start to sink down and float down. And then we arrange them and we position them and we, you know, so that we can have the best opportunity to catch the fish. And that didn't happen. We cast the nets out, and before the nets even began to sink, fish were jumping into the nets. More fish than we had ever caught in all of our lives. I mean, more fish. The boat was lurching to the starboard side. We thought we were going to sink. I couldn't believe it. I just turned, I looked at Jesus, and I fell on the floor of the boat at his knees, and I just said, "Away from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man." And he just reached out and he touched my chin, and he brought my chin up to meet my eyes with his eyes, and with this infinite love in his eyes, he just looked at me and he smiled and he said the most dangerous words you could ever hear. He just said, "Follow me. No longer do you, Peter, catch fish. From now on, you're a fisher of men."
We dragged our boats to shore with the greatest catch that we've ever caught, and we left our nets, and we left our boats, and we left everything, and we followed him. And in a boat just like this, I learned that when God calls you, the best thing to do is to follow. And in a boat just like this, I learned that when God calls you, it may be crazy, but he's still calling you. And God is calling you to give it all. And in a boat just like this, I learned those things. You know, Jesus, he was this incredible man. He never tired. He would meet with people and give towards people, and he was healing people and teaching people and walking from place to place. He just was always, always doing. And I don't even know how he did it, but and to the crowds, we saw something that others didn't. You know, we saw, you know, after the crowds were dismissed, we saw how exhausted he was. And so this one time, we were going across the lake, and he was so exhausted that he went to the back of the boat. He laid down on a cushion, pulling a portion of a sail over the side of him, and he just went to sleep. And we just thought, man, that's awesome, because he's just so exhausted. He does so much. And so we're heading across the lake, and it's getting dark, and the sea is starting to swell more. Soon the waves are crashing into the boat on the sides of the boat, and the boat is lurching from one side to the other. It doesn't bother us. I mean, we're fishermen. We've seen storms. We've weathered the best of them, and it didn't scare us, but it just continued to increase in its intensity. It was as though Satan was stirring his finger around the boat in a circular motion, churning up the water, and soon the water was slamming into the boat, not just hitting the boat, and soon the water was crashing over the boat and onto us. And we look back in the boat, and he's still sleeping. And our pride wouldn't allow us to go back and wake him. We're fishermen. We can weather the storm. And so we stuck it out, but it just kept increasing and increasing in its intensity, so much so that all of us were fearful of our lives. And I went to the back of the boat, and I shook Jesus. I woke him up. I said, Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? Save us. Don't you care? And so he wakes up, and he just like sits, kind of stretches a little bit. The storm is raging all around. He stands up in the boat. We're all afraid for our lives. He stands up in the boat, and he just says, quiet. And the waves and the wind stopped. The only sound that you could hear was this earth-shattering, loud pin drop of a noise of the water droplets on the sails dripping down and hitting the deck of the boat. And the sea was perfectly calm, like a mirror. We're all amazed. Who is this man that even the waves and the wind obey him? And in a boat just like this, I learned that when you think that Jesus is asleep in the boat, he's not. When you think that the storms in life are going to throw you over and capsize you, it's not. In a boat just like this, I learned that when you're desperate, you wake Jesus up and you ask him to save you. And in a boat just like this, I learned that Jesus does care, and that is never, ever a moment in history where he doesn't. When the storms in your life come, and they will come, Jesus has the power to calm that storm. It may not be in the way that you think, but he can calm that storm around you. So you know we were following Jesus because he was the king. We're all waiting. We're all waiting for the king. The person who was going to come and overthrow Rome, the person who was come and sit on David's throne, and he was going to be king. We knew that Jesus was going to be king. And that's why we stayed. So this one day, He's teaching, and the crowd just continues to grow and continues to grow to the point where there were over 5,000 men, and then there were women and children as well. So over 5,000 people. And Jesus looks over at us and he goes, well, we should give them something to eat. Are you crazy? We don't have a store, a warehouse of food for 5,000 people. How do you feed 5,000 people? What we got is a few loaves of bread and a few fish. What fits in the palms of our hands? Jesus begins to break and give to us to give to them. Jesus breaks this bread, gives it to them, gives it to us to give to them. And he just continues to break. And do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, can you really understand? Over 5,000 people were fed with what fits in the palm of your hands. They collected food afterwards. They collected the scraps of food afterwards, and it filled baskets. What filled baskets? What filled in the baskets couldn't fit in the palms of your hands, but what he started with did. Do you grasp that? I can't. And that's when it happened. That's when it happened. The crowd began to talk. And the crowd began to get together, and they were all speaking together and like a symphony. They were all talking, and they were saying, Jesus is king, Jesus is king. And they were going to make Jesus king by force. They were going to take him and make him and pronounce him to be king. And that's what we were waiting for, to be on the ground floor, to be one of them, for Jesus to be king. They were going to do it. They were going to make him king. And Jesus tells us, get in the boat and go to the other side. They were going to make him king. He dismisses us to go to the other side. He goes up the mountain to pray. And he tells the crowd to go away. They were going to make him king. What is going on? Have you ever felt like God takes a U-turn on your plans and the way that you think that they should go? Well, that's how I felt. I was mad. I got in the boat, we're heading to the other side, and good enough that he isn't coming with us. I've had it, I'm done. They were going to make him king. And there we were in the dark, going to the other side. And the seas began to get rough again. The water began to crash into the sides of the boat. Again, it was as though Satan was stirring his finger up around the boat, and this time he wasn't in the boat. And all I could think of was, he's punishing me for my attitude, for the way that I felt, for the way that I had walked away, frustrated from him and not following my plans. But and that's when we saw him walking on the water towards us. Jesus walked. We were scared. We thought it was a ghost. And then Jesus called out. He said, friends, do not be afraid, it is I. And we just saw him, there he was. He was walking on the water towards us. And while the storm was raging around him, it was like, so he was walking in this spotlight of calm. And that's when I did the most stupid thing that you could do. I mean, I have a real bad habit of just shouting out something and not even thinking about what I'm saying. And so there I was, I see him, and he said, friends, it is I, don't be afraid. And I just yelled out, I don't know what I was thinking, I just yelled out and said, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come to you and I will walk to you. Jesus said, come. What? Get out of the boat? I wasn't thinking. I zip up. I wasn't thinking. Now what do I do? Oh, I went to the side of the boat and I threw my legs over the side of the boat and I kind of inched down a little bit where my back was against the gunwale of the boat. And and the boat is lurching up and down. I'm holding on to the side of the boat, and the boat is lurching up and down, and the waves are slapping into my feet and up over my knees, and I'm looking at this storm, and I'm thinking, what an idiot! How could I have said this? And I took a breath, and I pushed off. And I walked on water. I walked on water. I was walking towards him. I'm walking on water. And then I saw the sea and the wind and heard the sounds of the boat. And I got scared and I started to doubt. And as soon as I did, it was like I was walking on the thinnest of ice. And I just crashed through the water, under the water. And I swam quickly up to the top, putting my head over with the waves crashing onto me. And I just yelled, "Jesus, Jesus, save me." And in an instant, he was standing right there. If you could just imagine my view. I'm in the water, my eyes at the water, and I'm seeing Jesus' feet. And this circle of calm all around him while the storm is raging, he's standing in this peaceful calmness. And he just reached down, grabbed my arm, and pulled me up, put me on solid water. And we walked arm in arm to the boat. And when we stepped in the boat, again, the wind and the waves ceased. And there was this perfect calm. And once again, all that we could hear is this pin drop sound of water dripping from the sails and hitting the deck of the boat. And in a boat just like this, I learned that when we think Jesus is not there at all, he's still there. In a boat just like this, I learned that Jesus is more concerned with the risk that you're willing to take than he is with the success that you think is needed. Jesus is more concerned with the risk that you take than he is with the success in your own eyes of what he wants. Boat like this, I learned that Jesus is constantly calling us to risk it all. And when we start to do things on our own accord and on our own power, we need to yell out, "Jesus, save me," as we crash through the water. And Jesus brings that circle of calm even in the midst of the storms. So we followed Jesus for 3 years. Incredible journey, adventure, epic. And throughout the 3 years, Jesus would tell us that he would be going to Jerusalem, that he was going to be crucified, that he would be raised from the dead. He constantly told us this. And we heard him, but we didn't hear him. Have you ever, like, heard God speak, but didn't really hear him? You know that he was kind of like there, but he wasn't really there. Like when you're sleeping at night and you are awake, but you're still asleep, you know, that kind of fuzzy place. Well, you know, that's, I guess, where we were, because he had told us about this, and we just didn't quite grasp what he was saying. But one evening, on that night, he told us that he would be betrayed, and that he would be handed over to the authorities. And I said, he said that we would all desert him. And I said, "Lord, even if everybody else deserts you, I will not desert you. I will follow you to death." And Jesus looked at me and he said, Peter, before the rooster crows 3 times, you will deny me." I'm thinking, hello, this is Peter, I walked on water, I'm not afraid of a fight, I'm not going to desert you, I am going to stay with you till death. And Jesus just smiled, that smile that he had. So when they came to arrest him with torches and with a horde of soldiers and the chief priests, when they came to arrest him, I was ready. I pulled out my sword. I cut off the ear of one of the servants. Jesus reached down and he picks up this ear, places it to the side of this soldier, and it's healed. And Jesus looks at me and he said, "Put away your sword." And I panicked. Something inside of me broke, and I was filled with fear, and all of the others deserted him and left, and I left him too. And I watched from afar. I watched from afar as they bound him up. I watched from afar as they dragged him away. I watched from afar as they placed the crown of thorns on his head. I watched from afar as they put nails in his hands and into his feet. I watched from afar as they pushed a sword into his side. I watched from afar, and as just a young woman, a young girl, a servant girl, challenged who I was and said, "You're one of them." I denied him three times, and I heard the rooster crow, and I broke inside because I denied him. So I don't know about you, but when you're lost, when you're at this dark moment in your life, when you've reached a level of depression and darkness, and then you go back to doing something that you think you're good at. So we went back to fishing. What else could I do? Certainly God has no use for me now. I denied him. So we went out fishing. And we fished all night. And caught nothing. We fished all night. I could only think of that first time when he said those dangerous words to me. I could only think of that, and I could only think of, great, you know, now I can't even be a fisherman. I can't be anything. Worthless. Useless. So we're coming in from shore, and we see a fire from a distance, smoke from a fire. And as we get closer to shore, we can smell the fish and bread cooking out of fire. And this person's standing on shore, and he calls out, he says, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" Let me just tell you, okay? If you're a fisherman and you catch nothing, the last thing you want is some idiot on shore cooking fish saying, "Did you catch any fish?" All I could think of is, you better not be on shore when I get there. And we called back and we said, "No, we've caught nothing." And he calls back and he says, "Cast your nets out on the starboard side." And I don't know what made us do it. We did. We just cast our nets out on the starboard side. It was just like before. It was just like that last time that we had caught nothing. The nets never even had time to sink. They just threw them on the water, and fish were jumping into them as the nets were hitting the water. Fish were jumping in. We caught so many fish, we had to call our partners in to help us. The boats were lurching to the starboard side and about to take on water. And that's when the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's when John called out. He said, "It is the Lord," and I knew it was him. I knew it was him. I couldn't even wait till we got off the shore. I just dove off the boat and swam to shore just to be there, but I couldn't even look at him. I couldn't even think about looking at him. And when everyone else came to shore, Jesus is feeding us bread and fish and talking with us. And then he looked at me and he just said, "Peter, do you love me?" It hurt. It hurt. He had every right to ask, but how could... I just responded. I said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, "Feed my sheep." What is he saying? How is he? What does he mean, feed my sheep? How can he have any use for me at all? I've denied him three times. How can he have any use for me? And then he said to me again, Peter, do you love me? And it hurt more because he had asked a second time, but he had every right. And I said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. I don't understand. How could he be restoring anything to me? How could he even think of using me? How could he? And that's when he reached down with his hand and he just touched my chin once again, and he brought my chin up so that my eyes met his, and I saw this infinite love in his eyes. I saw no anger. I saw no malice. I saw no condemnation. I saw this infinite love. And he said, Peter, do you love me? I said, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said, feed my lambs. And I understood, and I understood what he was saying, that he was restoring me to a position to go and it change the world one with him. And I couldn't believe, because who was I? And I felt this sense of his spirit washing over me again and again. And I was cleansed and I was forgiven and I was restored. And in a boat just like this, I realized that God's love is infinite. And there is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that reaches out past his grace. That there's no sin that you've completed, that you will complete, that you have completed, that God isn't capable of renewing and restoring in you. In a boat just like this, I realized that you can't go backwards. When God calls you, his call is irrevocable. That you can't go back to what you used to do. You can only press on and persevere and move forward. In a boat just like this, I learned that when you call, when he calls you, you listen. In a boat just like this, I learned that when the storms in life crash into your bow, that he's there. And even if you think he's asleep, he's not. In a boat just like this, I learned that when you think that God's plan is going one way and it takes a U-turn, it's still God's plan. And he's just calling you to follow and persevere. In a boat just like this, I learned that God has the resources to provide for everything. In a boat just like this, I learned that forgiveness is the business of God. Those are some of the things that I learned about a boat just like that. You know, when God calls us, and he's calling all of us, he's calling each of you, either he's calling you into a beginning relationship with him, or he's calling you into a deeper relationship with him. He's in the business of calling you. If you look at the Greek text of when God calls, when he says to follow me, you know, if I were to say to Jordan, follow me on campus this week, you know, follow me on campus, he would look at that as a okay, I'm going to follow Joe on campus, but it might, you know, it doesn't have this aspect to it of eternity. It's just like, okay, I'll follow Joe for now. I'll follow him on campus and I'll do something else or whatever. But God's call is different. When I asked my wife to marry me 33 years ago, she didn't understand me saying, marry me. Please, you know, marry me. She didn't understand that to be an intermittent thing. She didn't understand that to be a part-time thing. She didn't mean that to be a partial thing. She understood that marriage was a full-time, ongoing commitment into eternity. God's call is no different. God's call is not an intimate, temporary, partial anything. God's call is irrevocable, and God's call is to call you in to a life-changing, radical, epic adventure. I don't know what kind of baggage you brought in here today. I don't know your track record. I don't know your history. But God does. What kind of boat is God calling you out of today? What kind of risk is God asking you to risk? You know, I hear this term a lot. People say, well, you just got to step out of your comfort zone. Man, I hate that. I think that's terrible. I don't want anyone to step out. I don't want to step out of my comfort zone. That sounds like you can step back in. God's not calling you to step out of your comfort zone. He's calling you to expand it and get comfortable in that circle. And then he's calling you to expand it and get comfortable in that circle. And then he's calling you to expand it. There's no step out. That sounds too like, okay, I stepped out, but I can step back in. No. God calls us to expand our comfort zone. God calls us to risk. God calls us to be about kingdom business. If you haven't made a decision to follow Christ, I understand that. I used to be in that place. But maybe today. Maybe today is the day that he's calling you into a radical relationship, a beginning, a transformative thing that begins now and leads into eternity. If that's you, then there are people here to talk to. You can talk to me. We're approaching a table where we break bread. You know, what better time than to make a commitment of faith to him now and to join us at this table? If you're not at that place yet, nobody's ever forcing you anywhere. We're just glad that you're here. We want you to continue to coming back. Thank you so much for the support that you give the ministry that we have in this area, reaching out to college students. It's a critical place. There are plenty of storms in life on the college campus. God is desperately needed there. So if you can support Jordan or Ari in some way, please talk to them. That would really be great. Allow me to close in prayer. Father, I thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, for your Holy Spirit that you have empowered us with. I pray, Lord, that if you are speaking to someone for the first time, calling them into a radical relationship with you, that they would follow you. That they would even right now say yes. Lord, I pray for all of us who are on the journey already that we wouldn't revert back to our old ways, but we would press on and persevere and move forward in faith, trusting you. Lord, I pray that you would put your finger even right now on the boat that we need to get out of. The things that we need to risk and trust you with, I pray, Lord, that you would convict us of that. Give us the courage to be transformed by your Spirit, through your Spirit, for your glory. Thank you for this wonderful body of believers, this church, for what you've called them to do and to be in this community. In Jesus' name.